ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋರ ನಂದನ ಗಜ ಜನರಂದನ ಯಶೋರ ನಂದನ ಗಜ ಜನರಂದನ ಜಮುನಾ ತೀರ ಬನಚಾರಿ ಜಮುನಾ ತೀರ ಬನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭು ಪಾದ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭು ಪಾದ ಪ್ರಭು ಪಾದ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭು ಪಾದ ಪ್ರಭು ಪಾದ ಪ್ರಭು ಪಾದ ಪ್ರಭು ಪಾದ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭು ಪಾದ Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parivraja Kacharja. Astotara Satashri Srimadji Vangri Sisi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Iskan Viviti Fangra Charja Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today's reading is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, text number 18. Sadhunam samachittanam mukunda charanaishinam upekshaikim dhanastambhair asadbhir asad ashrayai. Sadhunam samachittanam mukunda charanaishinam upekshaikim dhanastambhair asadbhir asad ashrayai. Sadhunam samachittanam mukunda charanaishinam upekshaikim dhanastambhair asadbhir asad ashrayai. Sadhunam samachittanam mukunda charanaishinam upekshaikim dhanastambhair asadbhir asadashrayai. Sadhunam samachittanam mukunda charanaishinam upekshaikim dhanastambhair asadhir asadashrayai. Vaishnavi. Sadhunam samachittanam mukunda charanaishinam upekshaikim dhanastambhair asadbhir asadashrayai. Any kids? Okay. Word for word. Sadhunam of saintly persons. Sammachittanam of those who are equal to everyone. Mukunda charana ishinam whose only business is to serve Mukunda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who always aspire for that service. Upekshayi, neglecting the association. Kim, what? Asat ashrayai, taking shelter of those who are asat or non-devotees. Okay, those are the ones I can see. I miss. Okay. So where are we? Dhanastambhai. Rich and proud. We shouldn't miss that one. Asadvi. But the association of undesirable persons. Asat ashrayai. Taking shelter of those who are asat or non-devotees. And now Madan Mohan Prabhu will give us the rest.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Jai Prabhupada Patitapa. Saintly persons, sadhus, think of Krishna 24 hours a day. They have no other interest. Why should people neglect the association of such exalted spiritual personalities and try to associate with materialists, taking shelter of non-devotees, most of whom are proud and rich? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A sadhu is one who is engaged in devotional service to the Lord without deviation. Bhajatam mam anandiyabak. And then maybe we could say this one all together. Tatiksha skrana bhajatam sargayinam ajata sargayinam santam sadhu sadhu. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies. He is peaceful. He abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime, as from the Bhagavatam 3:25-21. A sadhu is suridam, surida, sarva, dehinam, the friend of everyone. Why then should the rich, instead of associating with sadhus, waste their valuable time in association with other rich men who are averse to spiritual life? Both the poor man and the rich man can take advantage of Krishna consciousness movement. And here it is advised that everyone do so. There is no profit in avoiding the association of the members of the Krishna consciousness movement. Narottam Das Thakur has said, Satsanga Jai. Thank you. If we give up the association of sadhu, saintly persons, and engage in Krishna consciousness and associate with persons seeking sense gratification and accumulating wealth for that purpose, our life is spoiled. The word asat refers to an avaishnav, one who is not a devotee of Krishna, and sat refers to a Vaishnav, Krishna devotee, Krishna's devotee. One should always seek the association of Vaishnavs and not spoil one's life by mixing with avaishnavs. In the Bhagavad Gita 7.5, the distinction between a Vaishnav and avaishnav is enunciated. Na maskita buddha na patate naradamam mayapukyanam asuram bhava astatam. Listen to how Prabhupada translates it here. Anyone who is not surrendered to Krishna is a most sinful person, duskritina, a rascal, mudha, and the lowest of man, naradama. Therefore, one should not avoid the association of Vaishnavs, which is now available all over the world in the form of the Krishna consciousness movement. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Janajana Salakaya Chaksur Umalitanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jaitam Surito Pangor Mamamanda Materakati Matsarva Svapatam Bojo Radha Madana Mahono Shri Shri Taitanya Manobistam Svapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kumad Mayam Tatati Svapatantikam Maom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvasesha Sunyavadi Paschata Desitarne. So the continuation of the story here where Narada Muni is, seems like he's thinking out loud about this, the situation of these two personalities. And I was thinking a little bit about them today, the two sons of Kavera, Manigriva and Nala Kavera, how that position that they were in is a result. It's not simply that they manifested there. And it starts as a seed. Everything starts as just a little seed. And generally the seed is maybe a glance. Just a glance over material energy, objects, with a mentality to enjoy. That's all, just a little teeny glance, not much more than that. And certainly they had to have accumulated many pious activities, because if you think about it, the way we present it in this particular situation right here, they're in a very condemned condition. They're being cursed right now. But if you think about it in a different light, they got what almost everybody would be wishing for. They didn't have to work. They had very wealthy parents. They're living in a beautiful place, and they're associating with ladies in an enjoying spirit, and they're probably quite successful in their pursuits of material happiness. So everybody in this world has that seed in their heart. And here we're seeing, if you took it all the way to the extreme, because one of the things I've noticed in Krishna consciousness is tri kalagya, that the, is that right? You get to see the effect that's in the cause and the cause that's in the effect. So you take it all the way to its conclusion, and that's usually where the Bhagavatam is. It takes you right from, okay, if you got what you wanted, if you got everything that you wanted, most likely you'd end up in the same position that these two are in. You would get covered, because it starts with just a little thought, a glance. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and when he was instructing Rupa Goswami, he talked about it, and they quoted this verse, Brahmanda Bhumite Kona Bhagavana Jeev. So you get this mercy, but the first part is Brahmanda Bhumite, that one is wandering. He's wandering all over, and he gets up and down for trying to find happiness. And he gets the good fortune of coming in contact with a devotee, and he gets instructions. So we have that part, but then it didn't end. That wasn't the end of the chapter. The next verses after that explains that when one chants Hare Krishna, it's the watering process, and it waters that seed of devotion, but along with the watering process, other things grow that are not the bhakti lata beads, that are called the weeds. And these weeds, they're called by different names, anarthas, aparads, offenses, sinful reactions, there's inattentiveness. So it's the same point of where Krishna says to always bring the mind back under the control of the self. Here we're specifically talking about tasmat ekena manasa. That's one of the instructions that we get in the Bhagavatam. Tasmat means therefore. Once you, if you sit for some time and you hear, you're supposed to put it together. And the tasmat is, it's being put together. Here's the conclusion. Therefore, always, with one-pointed mind think about Krishna. So here we're seeing Narada Muni. He's seeing that they got distracted. You get a little thought, and then you don't notice. I call it like the hour hand effect, how each day it's moving a little bit more, and you don't notice how your mind is becoming absorbed in a material activity. So he says, in one sense, don't say anything, don't think about anything, just watch. Because we do pray. He says, please bless me in the same way in the Dhammadharastaka prayers, that to bless me just like these two trees were, these Manikavera and Nanakavera were cursed to stand as trees. Please bless me in the same way. I have no desire for liberation to your effulgence. So they just got to watch. So a lot of times, this is a very, it's a submissive position. Of course, they were quite limited in their what they could do. Just like Krishna gives us Isha Vaisha Dham Sarvam, everybody gets their quota, and there's no alternative. You have to use it properly. If you misuse it, then it's taken away. So we understand the legs are meant to walk to the temple, the eyes for seeing the deities. Otherwise, they're also condemned in the second canto, like breathing is the billows of a blacksmith, and the eyes are like the peacock's feathers. They have eyes. So, and what is the use of any of these things if you can't see Krishna everywhere? That's a nice vision. Premanjana, see Krishna everywhere. Is Krishna everywhere? So, for us, we're being instructed how to do that. And one cannot approach Krishna directly. Did you know that? You can't approach Krishna directly. You approach Krishna through the mercy of the spiritual master. And here's a nice verse. I happened to be listening to this verse where Prabhupada was talking, and he talked so strongly on this verse. And then I just happened to be reading some letters from Prabhupada and opened to the same point. So that's always gives you kind of like chills and stuff when you see everything. Krishna's always, always, always directing your life, especially as a devotee, putting things right in your vision, right in front of you all the time. So we're always offering our pranams to Krishna like that. So this verse is from the 7th canto, 9th chapter, text 28. It's by Prahlad Maharaj. And he says, my dear Lord, and he's talking to Lord Nisringadeva, he's offering his prayers. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires, one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant Narada Muni kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How can I leave his service? So we don't approach Krishna directly. In fact, when Prabhupada was lecturing on this, he says that it's very arrogant, and a couple other words like that, audacious, to think that you can approach Krishna directly. So we approach through the spiritual master. And the letter that I happened to read right after that was interesting. It was on a devotee had written to Prabhupada, there's no mention of initiation in the Sikshastaka prayers. Why is that? That it's so important, Lord Chaitanya didn't mention it. So Prabhupada writes back that it is mentioned. It's mentioned in the third verse. He says, Trinada Peace Nechena. He says, no one... He expressed it quite strongly. No one can be humble without having a spiritual master. Because why does one need a spiritual master? Spiritual master, one acknowledges, I don't know. I need your care to take to make advancement in life. And of course we understand there's so many different verses that say the mantra you receive cannot be effective unless it's given from the pure devotee. And there's so many items similar to that. So here we're seeing Narada Muni giving him his mercy. Because actually, how do you even contact the spiritual potency, the internal potency, unless by the spiritual master? And if someone listens to his instructions, what does the instructions say? You read the Nectar Devotion, one must accept initiation. So how is it that one doesn't do that and still have some humility, which is the first item of knowledge? So without humility, then what do you have if it's not knowledge? Here it mentioned that if one doesn't surrender, which surrender means accepting a spiritual master, it says anyone who's not surrendered says is a most sinful person. So in Krishna consciousness, you use such strong words all the time, but it's required because it's such a precarious condition that we're in. Just a moment's inattention. Isn't that what the Vedic scripture, you hear it, then immediately there's blood, they say. And lifetime after lifetime. And just thought of two other verses. I don't have them exactly memorized, 422:30 and 31. It's the four Kumaras. And they're saying that the way that it works, there's a lake of clear consciousness, but then there's these big reeds that are growing around the lake. And he says, if these are allowed to grow, you see them around here. Sometimes we have these ones called what cat of nine tails is or something like that. It's a big reed that grows out of the pond. It takes all the water out of the pond. So it says, this is the way that material consciousness works. It absorbs all of your consciousness. And the clear consciousness is gradually sucked up by these weeds that are growing there. And then the next verse, it mentions, for that one I have a little bit better. It says, when one deviates from his original consciousness, he loses the capacity to recognize his, to remember his previous position. He loses the capacity, he can't do it, to remember his previous position of original consciousness, of being eternal servant of Krishna. And he loses the capacity to remember his previous, or recognize his present situation. He can't recognize it. And on that platform, all the information that he acquires is on a false platform, ahankar. It's all based through the senses without the training. So the material senses, if they're not engaged in devotional service, they're just, their natural inclination is to enjoy that. But can you say it is the object that's causing that problem? Can you say it's the senses that are causing that problem? Can you say it's the mind that's causing the problem? Can you say it's desire that's causing the problem? Where is the fuel being presented in this situation? Can you even say it's the false ego that's causing it? It's the soul as relationship with Krishna, primary switch that's going. After that, it's all, I'd like to use the term conveyor belt. You've planted the seed, and now it's growing. So it says all knowledge is acquired on that, is on the false platform. And the learned sages say when this occurs, the soul is lost. Brahmanda Bhumite. He's just going to existential precariousness. He's just going to, you don't know where your senses are going to go. We identify with this body naturally by, well, material nature, Lee. And then there's certain objects that appear favorable for our enjoyment, and there's certain ones, and we just meander, wander. It says the living entity is wandering, just precariously going from one place. So here it's mentioning that the sadhu is 24 hours a day. So why is it 24 hours a day? What is the alternative? There isn't a second alternative. That's why it's tasmat ekena manasa. Kirtanya Sadahari. So if we take a look at that verse, since I've already brought it up in two different capacities, that one should feel himself lower than the straw on the street. Where is the realization from that going to come? Is from understanding that there's something fundamentally wrong with the material energy. In the items of knowledge, it says, I remember some of the words, Janmamrita Jarabadi, but in the Dukkha Darshana, is it? Dukkha, there's another word in between there. That one should see the evil of birth, death, disease, and old age. One should see that. And as devotees, we're being trained to see 7-2, the phenomena and the numinous. So not only do you see earth, water, fire, air, ether, and all the material elements, mind, intelligence, but we also see what's behind everything. We see the string connecting all the... Well, you understand that there's a string that all the pearls are being held up with. We're understanding that. We're understanding the process of nescience and that of transcendental knowledge. And when you understand both of those things, how this material energy works, it's naturally to get a little bit afraid of it. It's like fire. Now, there's moths that are attracted to fire, and like nowadays, it mentions also electricity is another form of fire, and another form of light is a light bulb. And usually you'll see underneath the light bulbs, there's a pile of dead bugs. They fly into the fire. So if you say, why are you doing that? And you say, oh, it's natural. So it's material nature. There's two natures. Krishna says there's the material nature and the spiritual nature. And if you just consider the material nature, he says you can't be considered a wise person, even though you may speak nicely in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. So he says you have to tolerate. So here it's talking about the sadhu. He's different symptoms or tolerant. Why is he tolerant? Sometimes I think about that. It's more tolerant than a tree. There's a lot of things that you can learn from the tree, especially in this section here. But one of the ideas is you don't see trees move unless they're cut down and they're going by in the trucks, these logging trucks. You see them go by. So Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, actually his second instruction. His first instruction is you're not this body. And his second instruction is you have to tolerate happiness and distress, the duality. Another way of explaining about this material nature is the duality of happiness and distress. There's different symptoms of when the soul's in contact with matter. There's two. So he's merciful because he's thinking of Krishna and he sees everybody is in horrible condition of life. Just like, for instance, they talk about in medicine, there's different diseases that kill so many people. And when a doctor comes up with a cure, it's very much appreciated. Like if they have a cure for AIDS or a cure for cancer, the ones that they're still working on, they're always very excited about it. But still, the death rate is 100%. So if they weren't rascals and they understood that the real... death still is 100%. The death rate is still 100%, and there is a cure for death beyond birth and death. So I was, when I was up in Philadelphia last month, we went to this one, it was a big show, and there was one fellow in there, and I was just kind of in a jolly mood, so I said, you know, you can stop the cycle of birth and death, kind of like just speaking casually like that. And he got so serious, like all of a sudden, everything stopped in the room for him. And he looked right at me and he says, you can? He says, because I'm going to hell. And he was an ex-military guy who did a lot of damage. He says, I'm going to hell for a long time. And he says, how can I find out more about that? He said, here's my car, here's my address. Do you have any books? What do you do? And he was really just like what you expect anybody to be, but most of us are covered so much that we don't know. And he wouldn't let me go. He grabbed hold of me. He says, you can stop this. And he understood, because he had seen so much horrific activities. He was in like two wars, and he was an old guy. He was around 80. And he says, I don't have much time left, so you have to give them to me today. You know, I could go at any time. And he was so serious. I mean, it was a little scary. I'm generally a kind of a silly, lighthearted fellow, you know. And he grabs me and he says, you have to tell me. He says, if you know that, you have to tell me. So it made quite an impression. I sent him Beyond Birth and Death and a couple other books. And I guess I should follow up more too. But anyway, they're merciful because everybody is dying. You know, I remember back in the early days, especially, it was like we just read the Glories of Haridas Thakur about the chanting is the, when you hear an echo, it's the non-moving living entity's response to your kirtan. And you started chanting to the trees, to the grass. They're all living entities. They need to hear the holy name. And then you wouldn't let anybody go by on the street without saying Hare Krishna. It was a good fanatical time back then. One little short story is my wife went back to visit her mother so she could go to the 1972 New Vrindavan festival there with Prabhupada. And that was, she had new rings, toe rings, nose rings, everybody, it was the time back then. And so her mother was walking with her down the street, and she would not let anybody go by without saying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You don't want to let them go by. You never know. They may die, and you never see Hare Krishna. So her mother walked about 6 feet behind her. It was so embarrassing for her. But anyway, it was just, that was the mood that you had, is how serious this is that you can stop birth and death. This is what we have. So they're merciful to all Libyans. They have no enemies, because what's Prahlad Maharaj say? He says, I've heard in politics that they divide people between enemies and friends, and you act differently between them. He says, but I can't understand that. He says, oh, but now I see how it works, by his father's kind example, or unkind example. He says, but we're all eternal servants of Krishna. Everybody's the same. That's his vision. We're all servants of Krishna, especially Paramahansas. They see everybody serving Krishna. So this politics he didn't understand. So they have no enemies, and they're peaceful, because how does peace get destroyed? Naturally, you're peaceful unless there's spiritual anxiety. They say that Madhya Soda is in the most anxiety, because what happens to Krishna, this happens to Krishna, or somebody else comes, or Krishna's not eating enough, or he's not dead. She's always angry. But besides that kind of anxiety, that they're talking about the peacefulness in this material energy, it disturbs us. And of course, we know that from Bhagavad Gita 5:29, Bhoktram Jagatapasam, that by seeing Krishna, understanding Krishna as the proprietor and the friend and the well-wisher and the benefactor of everything, they're always serving Krishna. And there's another word I was thinking about today, Krishna Anandaya. Kind of, you think about that word about 30 times a day, or you meditate on that word 30 times a day. And today I was thinking about how that works. That's a very wonderful word to have open up to you, because it's like the preliminary part of Krishna's flute. Because all you have to do is put in a request. Krishna, suppose you put in a request, Krishna, I'd like to hear your flute. It's not that you're going to hear the flute right away, but if you put the request in, Krishna is very attentive to what your request is, and there'll be a time that you will. It won't be right away. Just like we understand there's patience and tolerance. But all you have to do is ask these couple, you know, come up with nice desires. Ask, even if you forget, Krishna won't forget. And one lifetime or another lifetime, that moment will come. So he's peaceful. He abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime because he's always associating with Krishna, and Krishna is reciprocating with him. Do you know what would it feel like when Krishna reciprocates with you? He's reciprocating with us now, but most of us, myself and there, is that I'm a little dull. We're not, he's a hoksaja. His senses, you can't perceive Krishna with these material senses, but our senses are becoming purified, and the word senses mean you can sense. So you start to be able to sense Krishna, and there's a lot of techniques that we're using so you can start to sense Krishna at every moment. And my mind just shifted into the nectar devotion. And it starts, when that reciprocation is taking place, when that connection, because we're practicing yoga means connecting. So when that connection is made, Krishna, there's a lot of different ways they explain about Krishna, Akila Rasmarita Murti. So anyway, I'm going to read the verse again. I'm going off my topic. Saintly persons, sadhus, think of Krishna 24 hours a day. There's really nothing else to think about. Oh, one other little comment I thought of. The Sambandha Gyan, that's it's one of my favorite points, is when you synchronize your consciousness. Here it mentions that they abide by the scriptures. So that they're all have this Sambandha Gyan. Krishna exists everywhere all the time. There's different terms, Sudasattva, Visuddhasattva. He's everywhere all the time. But you have to know how to connect to, you know, you have to put it in gear, so to speak. So right now, that Sambandha Gyan is your synchronizer. You know, synchronizers, I don't know, they're probably, most cars are automatics now. But in the old days, they used to have where you'd shift the clutch. You put the clutch in, and then you'd put it in the gear. And there was a little ring inside the transmission. It was a cone shape, and it would speed up the next gear to the same speed so it would go in place. I don't know if there's anybody here old enough that can remember before they had synchronized transmissions. That's going back a really long time. You had the double clutch. It was a whole different thing because there's no way to synchronize the speeds. So when you synchronize your consciousness with Krishna, when your consciousness is now lined up, then you can engage Abhideya in devotional service. So there's a couple prerequisites. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmana Sojitina Kanchati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate. That Labhate, that's your synchronizer. Param. So then you're up to speed, so to speak. And you can connect that Krishna, he's everywhere. We're bhakti yoga means connecting. So here's our process. We can, one of the aspects of Sambandha Abhideya, on your way to Prayojana. So, I was reading the verse, I'm sorry. Why should people neglect association with such exalted spiritual personalities? Well, we know that. And try to associate with materialists, taking shelter of non-devotees, most of whom are proud and rich. Oh, there's some nice things about bad association. It's the only one that's mentioned two times in that list, Nectar of Instruction 2 and 3. It's the only one in both lists. And it also, in Nectar Devotion, quotes it that it's so uncomfortable, it'd be better to live in an iron cage with fire and animals than it is to associate with non-devotees. It's such a great disturbance. So Lord Chaitanya, he was asked, what's the duty of a householder? And he responded, Asat Sangha Tyagi Vaishnav Charan. Prabhupada set up an international society, so you'd have engagement all the time. So gradually now we're having to mature to recognize the utter necessity of that. So that's mostly what I was going to say. I would take any questions or comments. And
oh, yes. Sita.
Yes. No microphone. If you want to take it over there, Trivikram, it's usually in there. Yeah. I'm going to press the button. Should work now. Did you find it? See if it works.
Okay, well, you were talking about how it's almost audacious to approach Krishna without going through a spiritual master. Yeah, maybe?
Yeah. I'm sorry, but I sometimes have to just repeat what Prabhupada said, even if it's a little stronger. There is a more politically correct way to state that, but in this particular sense...
I'm okay with that statement. I mean, if it's coming from Prabhupada. I was just wondering, because Srila Prabhupada gave us this movement, like, are we all covered, or are we being audacious right now? Or am I?
It's a funny use of the word, are we all covered? that has a couple different meanings. Different kind of. It's a question of recognizing the urgency. And when that takes place, there's a lot of written about it. And it should be explained, and gradually you become conscious that as you hear the instructions do point in that direction. So you're in a very special position because of being in a devotee association. So you're getting so much good association that you may not think that it's required. But when you read the books, it always says that it is. So at a certain point in time, there's that commitment to the spiritual master is made. And that's where humility, Prabhupada was writing that, is there isn't humility without that. So you have to wonder, what is this humility that people talk about? You may have to find someone to ask that has it. Sorry. If you can find somebody that has it, you can ask them what it means. But this type of humility, we're traveling through species after species. It's actually a very precarious condition that we're in this material world, but we don't notice. Sometimes I like to put it into another context that makes it more easily available for us to understand. So one of the best relationship scenarios that you can really find a lot of analogies from is, let's say it was a husband and a wife, and the wife's upset and the husband doesn't have a clue. So she says to him, "You don't even know what you did wrong. You don't even have a clue. You're so insensitive. You don't understand." So this type of a example. It was a fictitious story, but just. but generally, it's not hard to imagine that scene. So the same way, we're wandering through this world, and we're on death row. And if you go into a prison and you say, "What are you in here for?" Generally, the criminal will say, "I got caught." "Well, what about what you did wrong?" He said, "Wouldn't you do anything different if you had to do over again?" He says, "Yeah, I wouldn't get caught. I would do it better." But they don't understand that did something wrong. So we're in this world, and we're on death row over and over and over again. 8,400,000. So in this human form of life, Krishna says, take some time and think about it. Now here we're seeing with Manigriva and Nalakuvera, he says, Everybody's very busy, isn't it? When everybody will blast out of here in a couple minutes, I'm already running a class late, and we got a whole bunch of stuff to do that we think is very important. If you put your finger in front of an ant, he'll go right around you because he's got a lot to do that day. You know, it's just, everybody's very busy. So Narada Muni says, take some time, be a tree. Now, what? And just watch. You know, because everybody's got so much to do, so just watch. So we're doing this sadhana, where we come before the day begins, explodes into so many things to do. And we're hearing every day submissively. So we're getting the same benediction in the sense of the tree there, that we're submissively listening because at some point in time, Trinadapi's nature, and that's another... It says, one should feel himself low and straw on the street. But then most people say, what did I do? I just wanted to, like, be happy, you know. What's wrong with what, you know, like the deer in the headlights. You know, they don't have a, what's going on here? Well, you're about to be run over by a car, you know, so you should move. The deer in the headlight is a stun. So this material energy, it stuns your intelligence. Like yesterday we talked about that it's out of order. Intelligence is out of order. It's below the mind instead of above the mind. And it's not working, so we say that it's out of order, like a soda machine's out of order. So in the Bhagavad Gita, it recommends that you fix your mind on Krishna. Fix your intelligence on Krishna. So it's broken now, it's out of order, so you should fix it on Krishna, if you don't mind puns and stuff like that. Sorry, it's the only way I read. Is that okay, by the way? Well, see, the thing is, you have to come up with it. All you can ever be given is hints. Krishna consciousness is a bunch of hints because you have to come up with it. It has to come, otherwise it's artificial. It has to come out of your own blooming of intelligence. As your intelligence starts to put it together itself, you can, the Western world, well, actually the whole world now has got this academic influence that if you memorize something, you know what it means. But it's, and then we think that's what knowing is, but it's not like that. Knowing is different than that. It's a vigyan, a realization that takes place by doing the correct thing. Then when you're doing it right, you get a contrast of what wrong is. But while you're still in wrong, like if you're swimming in a pool and you say, I'd like to dry off, throw me a towel. So, okay, here's your towel. And he said, it's not working, the towel's all wet. Well, you have to get out of the pool. So you need to have you have to have an engagement that's different. You have to take instructions. So it's called the chariot, of the mind, mana retena, that we have it's taking us in different places. So that is actually the instructions. So if we repeat what Krishna says, it's under transcendental knowledge. He says if you have to approach a spiritual master. And then it says, then you're free from your activities that were going to keep you bound up. So even if it looks like everything's the same, it's not exactly the same. And then we could go into why not. You know, that's one part. Then there's a why not. Is that better? All right. It's still just a hint. I can't tell you. You have to figure this one out. Mahananda or Trivikram? Sorry that I'm running late again.
If I can remember what I was going to say.
Uh-oh.
pertaining to her comment about being covered, the material energy, the Maya, has two functions that it's always doing. It's always pushing, and it's always covering.
And what do those mean? What are they pushing you towards and covering you with?
Anyway, the scriptures say Maya always pushes and it always covers. I don't remember how Prabhupada explained it, but it
well, you think
clear.
You can be happy.
I don't know. It pushes you and it covers you. It covers your. It covers you.
You may think you're happy.
I am happy. Sometimes.
There you go. That's
sometimes I'm unhappy.
Oh well, the one is called the covering potency when you think you're happy.
Anyway, the only way to overcome this is to completely surrender to Krishna, because Maya is always doing this. Maya is always pushing, constantly, always pushing, and she's always covering. So the only way to overcome this is by completely surrendering to Krishna and just throwing your hands up, and he can pick you up from the ocean, and he can end this covering and pushing process. And that's the only way. Otherwise, we are being covered, and we are being pushed.
One of the nice things I've noticed about her pushing tendency is you're interested in Krishna. She takes on a different nature, even though she's Maya, because you're interested in Krishna. She assists in pushing you towards Krishna. So in the way that she does that, what I've noticed is I'm running after Krishna, sometimes not so fast, Lala Samayi or Loyam, you're running after Krishna, and you may slow down a little bit. But she's chasing, she's right on your heels. So if you've ever been chased, maybe by a dog or a person, you run a little faster than you normally do. You may start to slow down, and then you see this in some football or something, they're going to tackle you. So Maya, she also assists as for devotee in that sense that she'll, I know for me, she always identifies herself. She always says, by the way, you asked for me.
Well, we're not quite sure what she does to you.
She throws and covers. Apran.
The living being in this material world, Srila Prabhupada translates like this, living being in this material world does not have a direct connection with the Supreme Lord. Period.
What is it?
Living being
yeah.
in this material condition world does not have direct connection with the Supreme Lord.
Indirect.
Therefore, one must approach a spiritual master. Then again, in Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, he says, Nirapeksham munim shantam vimatsara samadarshanam anubrajami aham nittam pujayat angri renubi. This sloka quoted by many acharya, especially Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sudhakur, on when his Guru Maharaj's departed body, there was a quarrel who is going to take the body. So he came and he said, even Lord Krishna will be happy to take the dust of my Guru Maharaj's lotus feet. Why? Because Lord Krishna declared in that sloka that this material cosmic manifestation which is within my stomach, I would like to, this is his desire, I want to purify this living being, including Alachua devotee. He didn't say it, I'm just adding. By the foot dust of my pure devotee. Therefore, without foot dust of pure devotee, nobody can escape from it. Again, in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhulila 6.160, you can see Prabhupada says, without this pleasure potency and knowledge potency combined together in the heart of the jiva from a spiritual master, no one can escape. Repeating again and again.
How about the verse by Prahlad Maharaj? Has anybody ever been liberated without serving?
Yes. So that's the whole point, that guru is required. Also, when someone is sincere, guru will manifest. Now my question in this purport is very interesting. Sloka Prabhupada put that many times he quoted, Ajato Satrava Santa Sadhu Sadhu Bhushanam. In the middle of the purport,